Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Wednesday. Good hump day to one and all. Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. Number to call 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
Bilotti on the toes, Mike across the way, Shep as well, Andrew Bogish with your updates. As we all come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Taz Moose with you right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. We go. A lot to get into, a lot to touch upon. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, man?
Good, Moose. Good. Happy to be here on this Wednesday to bring another great Taz and Moose episode. David Sampson's coming on later on, CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ MLB analyst. So looking forward to talking to Dave later.
Yeah, a lot to get into with him.
Yeah, sure.
You know, whether it be, the playoffs, and that is where we begin, and certainly the other series that are going to be upon us, the other wild card game later on tonight between the A's and the Rays out there in Oakland. We'll get into that conversation, Taz. A lot of managerial jobs that are open out there as well. So a lot to get into with Sampson, so we'll touch upon all that with him. And last night, we touched upon it briefly yesterday, kind of giving a feel of who we liked, and you know, talked about the pressure on a Washington team, you know, that had not had not been able to advance, have had a lot of regular season success. I think they had to go all the way back to 1924 when they were the Washington Senators, when there was that baseball team. I know this is not the Senators, these are the old Expos, that they won a decided game to move on in a playoff series. Last night, trailing 3-1 early, and there's a lot of layers to this story, they get the unbelievable comeback in the bottom of the eighth inning. Against Josh Hader, the best the Brewers have in terms of their reliever and their closer, the error by the right fielder as well, and Grisham allowing all three runs to score on the hit by Soto, who's an unbelievable young outfielder for the Washington Nationals, and just the exultation and release by the Nats after that game does go final as Hudson does close it out. Faces four batters in the top half of the ninth inning to win it. Strasburg was great. I mean, there's a lot of ways to go, but I really felt good for the Nats last night because you could really tell as an organization, when they fell behind early, it was almost a sense of, here we go again.
Well, you and I made predictions yesterday. You felt the Nats would win last night. I thought the Brewers would win last night. So I'm watching the game, and that we get up early here, so it's tough to stay up late. So I'm like, hey, bottom of the eighth, we got this game intact. Yeah. So I go to sleep. So yeah. I wake up, find this all out. I watched the end of the game, obviously, this morning here at the office, and I'm like, wow, I couldn't believe it. Hader just fell apart out there, and you touched on it. Juan Soto at 20 years old, just clutch. I mean, the kid is just a phenomenon, just a rope to right field, and you got to feel for Grisham. I mean, he's got to keep that ball in front of him. That's a gigantic error by Trent Grisham, so that's a tough one for him.
Yeah, it really is for a guy that stepped in for Christian Yelich, and Yelich was very supportive after the game, and basically said, you know, we wouldn't have been here if it was not for Trent Grisham stepping in and playing the way that he did. And, you know, you look at Hader, who's been Mr. Strikeout and a dominant closer for the Milwaukee Brewers, Taz, especially down the stretch of the regular season for Milwaukee. You know, you get the broken bat single by Zimmerman, the hit by pitch, the walk, and then all of a sudden Soto comes up and, you know, Grisham charging the baseball in right field on that hit to right by Soto. I never really got the decided kind of like overhead look in terms of on the initial bounce by the baseball, how much did it exactly kick to Grisham's right, our left as a viewing audience? Do you know what I'm saying? Because
yeah,
he was charging. It never really got that sense because he was taking an angle to the baseball based on, and he's a good outfielder, based on off the bat and everything like that. It seemed like it kicked left from our vantage point, right, our viewing angle, a little bit. But still, he's got to get out in front of it, and he can't let that baseball get by him, because once that baseball gets by him, then Rendon's going to be able to come all the way around from first base to score. He did, and Soto, you know, intentionally got held up between second and third to make sure that that third run scored, so the Nats did have the lead.
Yeah, and you're right about how the ball bounced in right field. It took a little bit of a funky bounce, but, you know, he overran the ball. I mean, he was too aggressive. He approached the ball super aggressive. I mean, way too. I mean, I'm armchair quarterback and armchair right fielding, I guess, but still, he did. I mean, he was overzealous. Turner probably was like, you know, I gotta get this guy out who's on third or second so he could score. But you gotta worry about the guy who's on first. That's the guy you gotta worry about. But he overran the ball. He was way too aggressive. And the ball did take a little bit of a funky hop, but still, if he would have broke down a little bit and had a little more poise out there, I mean, he's a young guy, but he's a hell of a player. I think it was his first, correct me if I'm wrong, it was his first error this year so far, right? I mean, yeah, as he stepped in for Yelich, I believe it was.
No doubt.
Yeah. That's just catastrophic. First and last of the year for him. Horrible, you know?
Yeah, terrible. As Milwaukee goes home and they fall short. And, you look at Scherzer, no doubt he was disappointing, and there was debate down in Washington, should they have given the ball to Scherzer or Strasburg? Strasburg comes out in relief. It was downright brilliant. I mean, he was absolutely brilliant for Dave Martinez, and the Nats coming out of that bullpen, you know, striking out guys left and right, yeah, dropping the hammer and dropping the curveball down. You know, the Nats looked absolutely lifeless. Give Milwaukee credit because they jump out on top early. You know, Grandal, they get the walk, and then Grandal, who I believe is 1-for-16 in his life against Max Scherzer and has had a terrible go of it in the postseason as well, Taz. He hits an absolute laser over the right field wall to give him an early 2-0 lead. Then you get the solo shot in the second inning, and all of a sudden, blink of an eye, it's 3-0. Milwaukee Brewers, you're saying to yourself, all right, well, I mean, you don't believe in the Nats. They looked like they were as tight as a drum in that in that dugout as well. And the Milwaukee Brewers are going to find a way to win it, especially when you get into that bullpen. And I agree with you. Listen, I was watching the game at the time when Hader comes in. Mm. I didn't necessarily think the Nats were coming back to win that baseball game. I thought Josh Hader was going to do what normally Josh Hader does. I mean, maybe faces a couple of strenuous spots where he's got a little bit of sweat on him. But I did not think that he was going to give it up. And I understand he did not, Grisham overruns the baseball. But at best in that scenario, the game's tied at 3. I mean, Grisham's not going to cut down the runner at home plate. So you're looking at a scenario where potentially then, you know, it's a first and third or second and third scenario if that throw goes home with 2 outs and that game tied up at 3. I never expected Hader to give up the lead there.
No, I didn't either. I mean, especially he goes in, you know, right before he hit Taylor on the hands, and he had a strikeout under his belt there in the bottom of the eighth. And the thing is, real quick about that, that's something to discuss real quick. When Taylor got hit on the hands, I mean, it there was a little bit of a debate there that it hit the knob of the bat. I looked at it a few times. It looked like it hit the knob of the bat first to me. That's what it looked like to me, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, but whatever. He took his base.
Yeah, I think it's debatable.
Yeah,
I mean,
I
think it's, I could see where you're making that point. It's such a, you know, bang bang scenario,
yeah,
there where are you deciphering it? Did it hit the hand or did it hit the bat first? I think you can make the argument that potentially it hit the bat first.
Yeah, if you watch it over and over again, slow motion,
yeah,
one time you'll watch it hit his hands, one time you'll watch it hit the bat.
Exactly.
You really can't. It's tough. It's a super crazy tough. And then he strikes out, who struck out? Turner, I think, struck out. And then, so now it's 2 outs. And next you know, then the broken bat base hit by Zimmerman. And the man was first and third, 2 outs. So that's when Hader really started getting in trouble. Once he got that strikeout on Turner to get that second out, I'm like, all right, this is all right. He's going to be all right. And then when Zim got the broken bat, bloop base hit, I'm like, oh boy, now it's first and third, 2 outs.
And then the Rendon walk, who looked awful in his previous plate appearances in the game, and then you get the Soto hit to right field, which is a 1-1 pitch, Taz, lefty on lefty. You know, he spreads out his stance a little bit and then hits an absolute laser to right field, which Grisham then misplays and all three runs score. It's tough because, you know, this is why the wild card does work in Major League Baseball. You know, you work all season long. There's supposed to be a penalty for not winning your division.
Right.
You make the playoffs, but you don't win your division, and there's supposed to be a penalty. And the penalty is you've got 9 more innings of baseball. And if you don't play a clean nine innings of baseball, you worked your rear end off for the better part of, what, five and a half months,
right,
and all you did was get one extra game. So, you know, there's and that's the problem you have in Milwaukee. I mean, Milwaukee, you best – I mean, Grisham hopped on that plane, head back home to Milwaukee, and you best believe he wished there was another game today.
Of course.
Or on Thursday, Taz. But, unfortunately, the line is so fine between these two teams, but this is why the wild card in Major League Baseball works, because you get those kind of scenarios where – you know, Scherzer doesn't have it, and then you got Strasburg coming out of the bullpen, and then just one misstep, one mishap. As you mentioned, you know, Grisham had never made an error before in 42 previous games in the outfield for the Milwaukee Brewers, makes an error last night, and Milwaukee's going home.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you laid out the wild card scenario and how it is that, you know, you got to win your division, but the wild card, I mean, it is exciting, obviously.
Oh, it's
the,
great.
The games are unbelievable. It's do or die. Like you said, it's nine innings. Let's go. It's it. Everything you did all those months, all those sacrifices, all that traveling, all those injuries, all the treatment you get from trainers, all the ups and downs, and baseball is loaded with ups and downs, and it comes down to one game, and that's what happened. And the Brewers had this game won, and you got a guy like Hader on the hill who's a stud normally and shuts teams out, shuts them down, I should say, and that didn't happen. That's why for me, I don't know, I'd love to get your take on it, but for me, I don't put blame on Grisham. He's a 22-year-old kid. He's a great player. He's going to be a great player. He made a bad mistake at a crucial time. And you know, I've always learned as an athlete, and I know my son was coached this way too, no matter what sport you're playing, if you're going to make a mistake, okay, be aggressive about it. You know, it sounds weird, but if you play enough sports, that's a statement that people understand. And he was overly aggressive. And it burnt them, and it burnt this team, Grisham. But you know, I never believe a game comes down to one play. Like, you can't blame this kid. In my opinion, I'm not saying you're blaming him, but I'm not gonna put blame on him. If I'm his teammate, I'm picking him up. I'm picking him up on that ride, that flight home. I'm like, dude, just don't worry, man. It happens. We had plenty of chances to win this game, whatever, and we should have won the game. And it's not about one play. That's how. Otherwise, this kid's going to beat himself up all offseason.
Like, well, yeah, not, you know. And you know, I think he probably will regardless. But
right,
I agree with
right.
you. I think the teammates, and like I mentioned, you heard Yelich doing that post-game
right,
last
right.
night. And I think they'll all pick him up. I think Council was doing it as well, Taz, after the game, too. So, yeah, publicly or personally, I think you'll see that from that Milwaukee Brewer team. Yeah, and I don't disagree. I don't think it comes down to one just singular play.
Right.
You know, it's a bad error. And I'm trying to excuse it a little bit because I do think the ball kicked to his side that he was not anticipating. And, you know, the play is going so fast and the ball was hit with great velocity that when that happens, there's not great adjustment to be able to make and to be able to transition your weight and your rhythm as a runner to be able to get in front of it. So, I'm even giving him a little bit of a pass than maybe some would. I think the Brewers will look at, you know, maybe the, you know, when they look at the top half of the fifth inning when they had first and second and one out and can't find a way to score a run there, Taz, and extend the lead and make it 4-1 or 5-1 in that inning to really put the hammer down on the Washington Nationals, that they kept it within range where the Nats didn't have to have this monumental inning in order to come back or a monumental couple frames in order to come back. There were more opportunities for tack on runs for Milwaukee in that game. And I think they'll look back on those scenarios and say, you know, we should have scored a little bit more there. But, you know, he's going to wear it for a while, you know, rightfully or wrongfully so. It's going to hang on him. And Washington, you know, they needed a break. I mean, they really did.
Right.
They needed something to happen in a positive way for them to finally get over this hump, Taz, because, you know, at the time when that game went final and I was watching them celebrate on the field last night, I mean, you could just sense it. I mean, kids are running around. Soto's getting tackled by his father. You know, they're taking pictures and selfies on the field. Just the general release that they had after that game and just sheer joy realizing that they had finally done it, right? They had finally won a big playoff game, and they don't have to wear it anymore. For guys that have been around that franchise, how about Ryan Zimmerman?
Sure.
You know, who's been there basically from word go.
Yeah.
and all he's seen is great regular seasons and playoff disappointment. You know, to see him smiling after that game, to finally win a wild card game in advance and celebrate and have a beer or some champagne afterward as they did in the clubhouse. You know, Taz, I felt good for that Washington team. I did.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Even as a Met fan, I felt good for them. But you know what? Now they got to deal with the Dodgers, so good luck. But yeah, no, it was.
I think they got a shot. Yeah. I'll tell you, I think they're live. I do think they got a shot. I do. I'm not telling you I think they're going to definitely win the series, but I do think they've shown you a lot of resiliency this year. 19-31 or 19-32. You know, everyone's firing Dave Martinez, and then they came steamrolling down the stretch from that point forward at the second best record in all of Major League Baseball.
Right. Yeah. No. They definitely got momentum on their side right now. That's just, as you know, that Dodgers club is tremendous.
Oh, no, they're great.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. But, you know, listen, real quick, one more thing on the kid Grisham, on Trent Grisham made the error. I do think, like, plays like this in big situations that are clutch, I do think they either make you or break you. And I think this play will make this kid. I think he'll become a better ball player. And he'll have a better career because he's going to learn from this. That's how I feel about it. So hopefully he does.
Well, yeah, I hope so. And he's a good young player. And the Milwaukee Brewers are not going anywhere. They've got a lot of good young players on their team.
Yeah.
And they'll have Yelich coming back off of that fractured kneecap as well. You know, and he'll be back with that squad next year, Taz. Now, a game that went under 3 hours, right? Right around 3 hour mark is when that game went final two. I mean, that's what you want if you're Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball, right? A riveting wild card game.
That's it.
That doesn't go 4.5 hours.
Yeah, I know.
And ends up being a 4-3 final. You get the celebration. The Nat fans who packed that ballpark last night were fired up, certainly. We'll hear from some of the Brewers, some of the Nats. We'll do that next. Touch upon the American League wild card game, Rays and Athletics. Later on tonight, we'll get into that next. It's Taz and Moose just getting going here on this Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Major League Baseball legend Frank Thomas. You're listening to Taz and Moose on the CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance.
Let's go to Baltimore. Talk to Ken. Listen, on 1300 AM. Ken, you're on with Taz and Moose. Kenny. What's up?
Taz and Moose and Taz. What's up, gentlemen?
What's going on, Ken?
You know, you both are fantastic. Moose, you know I've been calling you for a long time, so you know you're fantastic. How you doing?
Good, Kenny. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
All right. Man, I like calling you guys when I want to disagree with you.
Right.
What do you got?
I've been playing sports all my life. Taz, you're a professional. Moose, you've been playing. There are certain times that it does come down to a last play. For example, Bill Buckner. That was the last play. That was When it comes to when it's the finality of the game, it can come down to the last play. Now, last night, it came down to that play because they had the lead. They never recaptured that lead. But in sports, there's always been plays that, matter of fact, Nelson Cruz in the World Series for Texas, he misplayed that ball. He catches that ball, the game is over.
Right, they beat the Cards.
I think you misunderstood. No, Ken, just so you understand.
Yes,
like I think you might have misunderstood when I say that the game doesn't come to one down to one play. I mean, I always believe in no matter what sport it is, there's a plethora of other opportunities throughout the game to get a team to that spot. I played sports my whole life as a professional wrestler and all that, and there's pressure there too, even though it's a show. And guys make mistake in the ring on worldwide TV, and you know. And you don't, you know, look, what was your main sport as an athlete? What was your best sport for you?
My best sport was baseball.
Okay.
I played basketball second, but my best sport was baseball.
All right. So what position did you play?
Let's just narrow it down to one. Let's just say second base.
Okay. So you're a middle infielder. Okay, cool. So now if you're in a game and then the shortstop that you're playing next to there, he makes an error to cost you guys a game. I'm sure that happened while you were playing.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to beat the guy up about it, right?
No. We're not talking about beating anybody up.
Right.
We're talking about the fact that it does sometimes come down to the last play. Because, see, what we did in the first inning and the second inning, all the errors that we made, it made no difference. But when we're winning the game, let's say we're winning the game 3-2, it's two outs, someone hits a regular ball to me at second base, and when I get the ball, I throw it to first, we win the game. But if it goes through my legs and they score two runs and they win, that was because of my error.
Right.
Not because of what happened three innings ago, one inning ago, one play.
Okay, well, Ken, how about we talk about in that actual inning in the bottom eight? So what about, so Hader hits Taylor on the hands with a pitch, and he takes his base. So that's an important part right there, because Taylor ends up scoring. Then he gives up a broken bat, bloop base hit to Zimmerman. Okay, so that's on Hader too, I guess, right? And then he walks Rendon. So, I mean, all these guys scored. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't come down to one play. I understand Grisham made the error, but still, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but Grisham made the error when they were winning. Everything else that was happening that you just said, they were still winning. It didn't cost them nothing.
But those guys were put on base, Ken. If those guys are not put on base, the error don't really matter. The guy gets a base hit.
but they scored when the guy makes the error.
They scored because Hader got the guys on base. That's why they scored.
He didn't make the error, Taz.
We're coming around. I mean, guys have to be on base in order to score.
Right.
And, I get that.
And the game is tied if he makes the play correctly in right field.
That's
and then
right.
The next batter
the
gets
front
a
of him.
Hit.
Right. I mean, he keeps the ball in front of
right.
him.
Right. But Ken is not wrong. There are instances where if a guy, he brought up Buckner. There are other instances as well of guys, if they did their job, it does come down. You could look back in the game, but it does come down to a play. If he does his job, the game's over.
Yeah, but that's a simplistic way to look at it. I understand. That's all true.
Well,
But you can't just throw away.
Buckner.
Thank you. That's my point. You can't just throw away things happened before. No, those are vital parts of the game.
Everything matters.
Hold on a second here. I mean, we're splitting hairs here in terms of.
Can I say one quick thing?
Yes, yes.
This is a beautiful debate, but let's really go back to Buckner. What I'm trying to say is that was a regular play. If Buckner makes that play, it's for now. It's finished.
Right.
They win the game. Everything else that went beforehand, whether it was two men on base or three men on base, it does not matter because the game would have been over. His last play was the reason why they lost. I'm talking about a regular play.
Right.
Yeah. No, and you're not wrong. You're right.
That's all I'm saying. Just a regular play. I'm not talking about a fantastic play that you have to backhand. I'm talking about.
It's a routine ground ball.
He makes the play. The game is over, correct?
Well, first of all, absolutely. The game, appreciate the call.
Let me interject from Pete's behalf. That game, the Buckner play, the game was tied.
It was tied already.
So the game, they were not going to win if he makes that play and steps on first base.
Okay.
Because a wild pitch let Mookie Wilson score. That game was 3-3 or 4-4.
Right. Well, there was a confluence of issues in that game. I mean,
that's the point. Like, all those things, yes, like the error allows the winning run to score, but the winning run got on base somehow. So all of those things are connected. You can't separate them in any way.
I'll go to my grave feeling as a former athlete and as a sports fan the game doesn't come down to one play.
Right.
I understand what Ken's saying. Moose, I understand what you're saying. Those are vital errors. The Buckner thing is something that goes down in history. As a Met fan, I'm cool with it. But still, but I'm just saying, like, it's like I don't look at it like that. I mean, I look at it like there are things that we could have set ourselves up as a team throughout the game to put us in such a position not to worry about one play.
I mean, I'm rewatching the game now because I fell asleep in the fifth inning, and Keaston Hira just struck out with first and second in the fifth against Scherzer.
That's the point I brought up in the opening segment. But, yeah, I mean, the very fact is he also had 104 strikeouts in the span of, when he initially got called up as the Brewers' one prospect.
Fine. Right,
so,
he strikes
out a strikeout
lot. But the point is, the game progresses. Everything is connected. It didn't have to still be 3-1 in the eighth inning. They could have added on after they didn't score for the second inning. It could have been 6-1 by that time, and everything is completely different. So you can't just. It does never. The only thing that comes close to boiling down in my mind to one play was the Galarraga non-perfect game. Because literally, I mean, that is the last play of the game that the umpire messed up on.
I mean,
but even that game, things happened before that obviously have him in position
to almost
have the perfect game.
That's just sports, the way I see it. I mean, it's just sports.
Everything is connected.
You look at a play. So the only play you think of that ever in the history of sports that comes down to one thing is the Joyce blown call first base.
No, Eve, that's the closest thing to me that you can boil down to like one singular moment that decides things. But even that's connected to the previous 26 batters that all made out that put him in that position. There's no way to disconnect one play from another.
I look at it. I mean, I don't think everyone should wear goat horns. I think there comes down to a scenario, whether it be Mitch Williams, whether it be last night Hader not doing his job and allowing guys to get on base. I get that, but you know, let's not. I mean, if Grisham makes a play, the game's tied. I mean, the game's tied with another batter coming up with probably men on second and third, and the game tied up at three. It's not down 4-3.
Right.
And he didn't do his job. I mean,
he didn't
that's
do his job, but neither did
to.
Josh Hader.
No, right. That was the point I'm making. Hader put all these guys on base.
I get it.
I'm not blaming Hader either.
I understand. Well, no, I put blame on Hader in the opening segment. I think Hader deserves to. He didn't do his job. I mean, he was coming as a dominant reliever, and he did not do his job, especially with the very fact of, you know, the Zimmerman broken hit, the hit by pitch, and then the walk to Anthony Rendon. When you have a 3-1 lead at that stage, he certainly put his team in a precarious spot, and then Soto comes through with the big hit. Hader deserves to wear some goat horns, but as does Grisham.
Yeah.
No, and the Grisham thing, listen, you were trying to give him a benefit of that a little bit on a funky hop, and I understand that, Grisham in right field. But like I said, he overplayed the ball. It was a bad mistake. He was too aggressive approaching the ball. I mean, and like I'm telling you, that's something that players and coaches and people who played understand. If you're over-aggressive and you make the mistake, it sucks, but you'd rather that than be passive, and he wasn't. Yeah, you know, he was over-aggressive. It was a bad mistake, but I believe in there, like I always, I don't care if it's football, basketball, whatever sport, there are things throughout the game, that's what makes the game, that sets the tone, that it should never come down to one play. It does. I know that. But it shouldn't have to. That's why it's tough. I don't believe in putting blame on someone. Now, mental error, that's a little different. If someone makes a mental error, then I don't say you put blame on them. But that, as a teammate, you get a little more ticked off because you weren't mentally prepared. You weren't mentally locked in. A physical error, over-aggressive error, hey, man, guys are going to pick you up. That's what athletes do because it could be you that makes a mistake next. That's the way it goes.
Yeah. Well, mental and physical error can be connected. If you don't mentally put your glove down in order to feel the baseball, I mean, then it becomes a mental and physical error.
No, I'm saying making a – when I say mental error –
if he forgot how many outs were.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean. I'm not talking about mechanical mental error. I'm talking about, hey – there's a force at second, and I, you know, threw the ball at first. I could have just stopped.
Right.
It's a bad example.
Yeah, no,
you know
I
what
got
I mean.
You. Like, I see what you're saying.
Just saying that type of mental.
Yeah, I mean, listen, anyway you cut it, Milwaukee's going to have a long offseason. This is a game that conceivably, at worst, should have been tied up at three going, or at best, should have been probably tied up at three going into the top half of the ninth inning. If Hader then was able to get the next guy out, and fortunately, all three runs score, they're down 4-3, and then Hudson comes in to close it out for the Nats. And they go home, and the Nats march on and celebrate as they get set to take on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Bogus is here. You heard him. Here he is with your update. What's going on, Andrew?
Guys, let's go right back to that NL wildcard game. So was it over when the Nats were 19-31 in May? Was it over when they were down 3-0 last night?
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Of course it wasn't. The Nationals rally started with Trey Turner's. You remember Germany bombing Pearl Harbor?
Yes, that's what I remember. I was actually in
Trey Turner's solo shot in the third. That rally took a little bit of a break and then resumed in this now infamous eighth inning. Bases loaded, two outs, Juan Soto against Brewers closer Josh Hader.
Hader, the set, the kick, here it comes. Swing and a line drive, base hit right field. Taylor scores from third. Stevenson around third. The ball missed in right field. Rounding third. Coming home is Rendon. He will score, but now caught in a rundown is Soto. He will be tagged out by Moustakas, but that's the third.
Third out after three runs scored for a 4-3 lead. That was Charlie Slows on Nationals radio. The ball did seem to take an odd bounce to the right of Milwaukee right fielder Trent Grisham as he charged Soto's single. Grisham's out there because of Christian Yelich's broken kneecap. Now, all of this began with Hader hitting pinch hitter Michael A. Taylor, kinda. The pitch might have hit the bottom of Taylor's bat before getting his left hand.
Honestly, you know, it could go both ways. You know, obviously with these reviews, they can definitely, I mean, you can look at it both ways. So it definitely looked like it got the bat, but it also got his hand.
Hader and the Brewers lost the challenge, so Taylor got first base. Daniel Hudson closed out the 4-3 win from Washington after three scoreless innings of relief from Steven Strasburg. First time ever he has pitched out of a bullpen, regular season or playoffs. Patrick Corbin now starts game one of the division series at Dodger Stadium tomorrow night. The AL wildcard game is this evening, just after 5 Pacific in Oakland. The A's will start lefty Sean Manaea over righty Mike Fiers. The Rays had already committed to their ace, Charlie Morton. Cincinnati Bengals wideout John Ross expected to miss multiple weeks after injuring his right shoulder in Monday night's loss in Pittsburgh. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones said yesterday they got the best possible news on Tyron Smith's high ankle sprain from Sunday night in New Orleans. The left tackle unlikely to play this weekend against the Packers, but that could be the only game he misses. Giants wideout Golden Tate, Patriots tight end Ben Watson, and Titans left tackle Taylor Lewan among the players now back from their season-opening 4-game PED suspensions. The WNBA Finals even through two games after the Suns' 99-87 win in Washington. The Mystics played most of the night without Elena Deladon because of back spasms. She'll have an MRI today, Game 3 Sunday in Connecticut. And the new NHL season begins tonight. The Blues hoist their Stanley Cup banner, then play the Capitals at 8 Eastern. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. 855-212-4CBS is your number to call. We're talking about the Nats' big wild card victory last night at home against the Milwaukee Brewers.
Let's go out to Modesto, California, talk to Alejandro. Hey, you're listening on 1140 AM. How's it going, man? You're on with Taz and Moose.
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Good. What's up, going Alejandro? On, man? What's up? How you doing, buddy?
Well, I got to be pretty quick, but all I wanted to say is, you know, in sports, you're taught to forget about the past and just focus on the play at hand. And whatever happens before that, then it's got to be bygone. You got to just play your play and
right.
deal with those results.
Yeah. Yeah, what's your point, though? That's true. I agree with you. What's your point, though?
Well, the point is it doesn't matter how many how those players got on base. You know, you got to make your play.
No. Yeah, you must have joined the conversation in the middle because that's not what we were talking about. We were talking about how someone can be not blamed, but like they put the onus on a teammate or whatever. It's just that blame goes on a guy because it's the last play of the game. In this case, it wasn't, but it cost them a bunch of runs or cost them the game. But my point was there are a series of events that make that happen to get to that point. And I agree with you. You got to move on. You can't live in the past in sports. You have to have a super ultra short memory, but that kind of wasn't the conversation. Maybe you joined in the middle of it. I don't know.
I got out of work and I joined in a little late.
No problem. It's all good, man. Appreciate the call, dude.
You
Thanks.
Know, but yeah, I mean, guys were on base, guys scored. So, you know, we were talking about before, you know, before Andrew's update, 4-3 game, closer comes in, gives up a solo shot to surrender the lead. Does it come down to that at bat?
Does it come down to that at bat?
Blame on the closer?
Do I put blame? No. In regards to Hader guys on bench?
No, I'm just talking about prime example. You see it all the time during Major League Baseball.
Right.
4-3 game, 5-4 game, 8-7 game, whatever it might be. I bring my closer in. You know, he gives up a solo home run. Game ties up at 8. You go to extra innings. You eventually end up losing. Do you put blame on the closer?
I mean, as a fan, I get mad at the closer, but I understand that there are things that happen that we shouldn't have been in that position. We should give him more of a pad that it shouldn't come down to one run.
Well, his job is to close those
I know
games
that. Listen,
out.
You asked me a question. I answered the question.
No, I understand.
If you don't like the answer, sorry.
I mean, it's not that. It's just a debate. Mean, you know. It's a conversation.
Oh, no
I guess I'm looking at a scenario where, you know, we could always, I mean, everything, there's a number of things in life that can come down to more than just one thing happening. And you were looking at sports as being an example here. You could look over the course of a football game and say, well, I should have been more efficient in the first quarter and the game shouldn't have been close in the fourth quarter. You can rationalize that out any which way in terms of a tough loss, but guys are also brought in there to do their jobs. And when they don't do their jobs, that comes along with being a professional athlete. I mean, that's the way I look at it as well. Listen, Hader was bad last night. We talked about it at the start of the show.
He was.
It doesn't all come down to Grisham's one singular play. He doesn't have to put Trent Grisham in that scenario where the bases are loaded, two-run lead, and Soto hits a rocket to right field. I don't disagree with any of that. But also, Grisham did not do what he was expected to do, which was field the baseball and not allow the ball to get by him.
Absolutely. I agree with all that, and that's all true. And I think Grisham would be the first one to tell you, hey, that onus falls on me. But his teammates say, nah, not so fast, because they could be in that position. And the thing is, as far as, like, look, if you're in a post-game film session the next day after a football game and this happens, or this game here with the Brewers, okay, a coach or a manager, they're going to say, guys, listen, we can't put ourselves in a position where it comes down to an error. okay? And hey, Grish, you got to make that play. That play, you got to make that, and you know you got to make that play. He'll tell him that, and that has to be said. But it doesn't. He will preface it first by saying it never. It should never come down to one play. That means, I mean, with the Patriots, that don't happen that much. Like, for, just for example, I think of greatness, I think of the Pats, right? I mean, I'm sure somebody could call, or you could tell me a time in history, because I'm not an encyclopedia, that the Patriots game did come down to one play. But most of the times, my feel as a football fan, just talking football for a second, when you watch the Patriots, it never comes down to one play. They always make sure there's enough pad and lead for their offense to win the game. Usually. You know what I mean?
I'm talking about
a great team.
I'm not saying the Seattle Seahawks game came down to one play. Play call at the end of the game. Look at Vinatieri early in when they were going on Super Bowl runs. He's kicking field goals late in games to win for the New England Patriots. Point.
I mean, I'm not explaining it right. I know I shouldn't have brought that up.
Because
the thing is this. What I mean is I don't want to be taken literally. I'm saying as an overview, like a great franchise. Like I just mentioned the Pats because they're a great franchise that win mostly all the time. That's what I'm saying.
But Taz, I look at the Patriots differently. I look at them being able to handle pressure in game situations. They're so prepared mentally and physically that the game and the pressure does not get to them. That's what I think separates.
I agree with that.
I don't disagree with you that there have been many instances where they're lean games by, 25 points, 28 points, 30 points in the third and fourth quarter where the game is over. But when they're not, the Patriots are the most mentally and physically prepared team in the National Football League to play their best when the pressure's on the most. That's what when I look at New England and, there are numerous examples of games, even with great teams that come down to one play or come down to a kick or a touchdown or a drive late or, interception, whatever it might be to seal the victory. But I look at the New England Patriots is what separates them to me as a football team is that the pressure never gets to them. And that's, I think, for the most part, and I think that is, aside from being the Giants, for the most part, I think that's what really kind of makes me kind of jealous of them and what they've been able to accomplish here during Bill Belichick's era.
I agree with all of that. I'm just saying, like you said about there's been a bunch of games where they have a big lead, and it's true. And that's
Of course. They're a great team. I mean, they have been over the years. But they've had championship moments where they've been decided by a defensive play, a drive, a non-drive, everything and the like, So...
Well, they also capitalize. When you make a mistake, they're going to capitalize.
Taz, they also had one of the most miraculous catches ever in the history of the Super Bowl go against them.
Very true.
The Tyree catch.
Yeah.
Where it was basically super glued to his helmet.
More reaction
from the players last night's big wild card win down in Washington from the Nats. And we'll touch upon tonight's AL wild card game as well. It's Taz and Moose with you here on this Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, time right now to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question. Be listening later on the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. We've been talking a lot about the play in right field last night. By Trent Grisham, the misplay. Josh Hader certainly did not do his job as well as the Nats do move on. Here's Grisham after the game and after that Aaron Wright.
And topspin coming up, so I was getting ready to throw to home. Came in a little off balance. Kind of took a little funky off on me just because I came in off balance. Didn't really gather myself. Ball got by me and just went back there and tried to get in as quickly as I could.
Yeah, what says the manager? Here's Craig Counsell.
That's about playing in these games. That's that's part of playing in these games, and it's disappointing. And I'm sure Trent's disappointed, but for all these guys, Trent's why we're here. Trent got us here. Big part of getting us here.
Yeah, and you know what he is, and Council reiterated that during his post-game presser, Taz. And we mentioned about Christian Yelich. Here is Yelich, the injured star, reigning MVP in the National League, talking about Grisham afterward.
Nobody wants that to happen. It's just the game of baseball. Now I have to watch it again, but it kind of looked like the ball kind of kicked funny wherever it hit, whatever kind of spin it had, and it just happens. It's going to be magnified because there's a lot of eyes watching. It's a big stage, but he's a huge reason that we're even playing in this game.
No doubt. He was great and brilliant, really, when Yelich goes out with that broken kneecap, that fractured kneecap, Taz, and they would not have been in that situation last night without him. And for the Washington Nats, the exultation, right, for Soto, a young star outfielder playing left field for Dave Martinez and the Nats. You know, afterward, you could see the joy on his face as all the Nats were celebrating. His family in attendance was a really cool scene. Here's Soto after the game.
I just started to keep going. I see Bobby sending Rendon to the play. So I want to make sure they throw the ball to third baseman and let him score, make a run down over there and try to make him score.
Yeah, and that's the thing there. For Dave Martinez, the Nats manager, he said basically imploring his team to play the final out, which they absolutely did.
Yeah, they play to the last out.
Sorry.
You know?
Sorry.
Every day. They don't quit until the 27th out is recorded. And honestly, for me, I kind of got used to it. And, you know, we're sitting there and nobody ever thought we were ever done until that last out was. Really, I mean, the dugout was fired up.
Yeah, they have a lot of heart.
Yeah, they
play with a lot of heart. Yeah, they do. And they play. And that kid Soto's got a lot of poise. For 20 years old, he's a young guy, and his future is ultra bright. So his upside's insanely high. So yeah, yeah. But they play with poise. They got a lot of poise. This club, for real.
I'm trying to think of the right word. You know, do you believe in like karma?
Yes.
You do believe in karma.
I do believe in karma.
So you believe, like, you
especially
know,
if it works towards my advantage.
Of course. Good line. Yeah. If you have, if things are going well, like, do you believe in, like, luck? Are you wearing, like, things are going well? Do you, like, when you were wrestling, things are going well? Are you wearing the same, like,
yeah,
attire? Are you doing the same stuff? Did you believe in that when you were?
I did a little bit. I did. I wore a lot of times the same socks. If I had a good match, I'd always make sure in bigger match I'd wear those socks.
Did you wash them?
Yeah.
Because some guys don't wash them.
Well, there was a couple times where we were working back to back nights and I had big matches and I had to wear them back. So I didn't always wash them. When I came up from the road, I did. But I always, in bigger matches, I wore the same boots usually too. So
a little superstitious.
A little superstitious. Even like now, as a fan, like I watch the Buffalo Bills, I wear my same red Bills t-shirt I have. Now I got to change it because they lost.
Well, maybe they'll begin a winning streak again.
Yeah.
So I bring that up because did you see? So Dave Martinez, right, the Nats manager, usually has the customary 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And that's on purpose.
Yes. He lets it grow in. Yeah.
He lets it grow in.
He wouldn't shave it.
Yesterday, when he was going to, you know, put the trimmer on, he put the wrong blade in.
Oh, man. I've done that.
And he trimmed his beard or trimmed the growth a little too much. And instead of having as they said, the 5 o'clock shadow, he had probably the noon shadow. So it kind of threw off a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that he looked a lot more clean shaven than he did. Remember, the Nats were riding an 8-game winning streak going into the game last night. Closed out the regular season steamroll, won 93 games. But Martinez, who obviously believes in a little bit of superstition and believes in a little bit of karma, he unfortunately yesterday, when he went to go clean himself up and get himself ready for a big wild card game, he had the wrong blade on his trimmer.
And anybody who's had any kind of a beard and trimmed or used clippers to trim, you know, like you could make, once you go with the wrong blade and you go a little low, there's no turning back. You have to do the rest of it. You have to be consistent with your facial hair. My point is, you can't like go, like, oh, I went with the wrong low one, and now go back to the high one because you'll have a chunk missing out of the side of your face of the hair.
Right.
So my point is, once he went that way, Martinez probably was like, ah, damn it, now I got to trim the rest of it this length, and there goes, you know, superstitious Jones. Then there's a problem.
Yeah, right. Then it all of a sudden changes.
But they won. So,
yeah. Well, they won. Now I'm sure. Now the question is, if you were Dave, they finally win a playoff game, do you go back to the old look? Or do you sport the new look?
Well, he's in a good spot right now because he won with the old look and he won with the new look.
Right, but I'm asking you, if you were him, I'd go with the new look.
I'd go with the new look too. I would.
I wouldn't go back to the 5 o'clock shadow as they get set for the Dodger series coming up. They're going to need all the help they can get going up against the best team in the National League, the Los Angeles Dodgers. But it's an intriguing one. Do you go back to the look in which you finally advanced in the playoffs, or do you go back to the look in which your team rallied and steamrolled down the stretch?
I say the last girl you dance with at the dance, and that's the 2 o'clock or 12 o'clock shadow, whatever what we feel it is. Yeah, the lower one. I'd go with the last look. Yeah.
I agree with you. So there you have it. We'll get into a little football. Kirk Cousins is apologizing, Taz. We'll tell you to whom he's apologizing for. No, and it's not all the Vikings fans, which is an easy answer. But we'll tell you which teammate he's apologizing to. We'll get into that next. It's Taz and Moose on a Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.